there, somehow he just couldn't. He started to feel panicky, and he had trouble breathing, and he didn't move. He told himself it was hopeless, anyway. If the kids were still up there on the road, they could never survive. And certainly there was nothing Ed Regis could do for them, and he might as well stay where he was. No one was going to know what had happened except him, and there was nothing he could do. Nothing he could have done. And so Regis had remained among the boulders for half an hour, fighting off panic, carefully not thinking about whether the kids had died, or about what Hammond would have to say when he found out. What finally made him move was the peculiar sensation he noticed in his mouth. The side of his mouth felt funny, kind of numb and tingling, and he wondered if he had hurt it during the fall. Regis touched his face and felt swollen flesh on the side of his mouth. It was funny, but it didn't hurt at all. Then he realized the swollen flesh was a leech, growing fat as it sucked his lips. It was practically in his mouth. Shivering with nausea, Regis pulled the leech away, feeling a tear from the flesh of his lips, feeling the gush of warm blood in his mouth. He spat and flung it with disgust into the forest. He saw another leech on his forearm and pulled it off, leaving a dark, bloody streak behind. Jesus, he was probably covered with them. That fall down the hillside, these jungle hills were full of leeches. So were the dark, rocky crevices. What did the workmen say? The leeches crawled up your underwear. They liked dark, warm places. They liked to crawl right up your... Hello! He stopped. It was a voice carried by the wind. Hello! Dr. Grant! Jesus, that was the little girl. Ed Regis listened to the tone of her voice. She didn't sound frightened or in pain. She was just calling in her insistent way. And it slowly dawned on him that something else must have happened, that the Tyrannosaur must have gone away, or at least hadn't attacked, and that the other people might still be alive. Grant and Malcolm, everybody might be alive. And the realization made him pull himself together in an instant, the way you got sober in an instant when the cops pulled you over. And he felt better, because now he knew what he had to do. And as he crawled out from the boulders, he was already formulating the next step, already figuring out what he would say, how to handle things from this point. Regis wiped the cold mud off his face and hands, the evidence that he had been hiding. He wasn't embarrassed that he had been hiding, but now he had to take charge. He scrambled back up toward the road, but when he emerged from the foliage, he had a moment of disorientation. He didn't see the cars at all. He was somehow at the bottom of the hill. The Land Cruisers must be at the top. He started walking up the hill, back toward the Land Cruisers. It was very quiet. His feet splashed in the muddy puddles. He couldn't hear the little girl anymore. Why had she stopped calling? As he walked, he began to think that maybe something had happened to her. In that case, he shouldn't walk back there. Maybe the Tyrannosaur was still hanging around. Here he was, already at the bottom of the hill, that much closer to home. And it was so quiet. Spooky, it was so quiet. Ed Regis turned around and started walking back toward the camp. Alan Grant ran his hands over her limbs, squeezing the arms and legs briefly. She didn't seem to have any pain. It was amazing. Aside from a cut on her head, she was fine.
I told you I was, she said.
Well, I had to check. The boy was not quite so fortunate. Tim's nose was swollen and painful. Grant suspected it was broken.